Lee Kalei, narrator.
Revenge and Redemption by L.A. Long. Dr. Caroline Kincaid drew in a long breath of warm Los Angeles air. She tried to force the memory of the wreck into the recesses of her mind, but after 10 years of trying, she was still unsuccessful. It was always the same tortured recollection, the same ugly scene, the same devastating ending. Her skin was covered in a sheen of perspiration that had nothing to do with the 6 miles she'd just run. She glanced at the LED numbers on her wrist and grimaced. 9 seconds slower than yesterday. Exhaling slowly, she pursed her lips and glared at the scar running up the side of her left ankle. With a sigh, she jogged the remaining 200 yards to her apartment. Inside the small studio flat, she took a quick shower, dried off, threw on a robe, and pulled her long auburn hair into a no-fuss ponytail. She had 45 minutes to get dressed, call a taxi, and make it to work on time. She just started dressing when her cell phone rang. No time for this. She ran to the couch where she'd thrown her purse last night and plucked her phone from the side pocket. A picture of Dr. Thomas Kincaid's handsome face flashed onto the screen and she smiled. Swiping the screen to make the connection, she answered, "Good morning, Dad."
"Carolina."
Her father's use of her pet name always made her happy, but today, the way he said it, anguish heavy in his voice, sent a rush of worry-laden adrenaline through her veins.
"Dad, what's wrong?" It's DJ. Something is strasznieżo."
Thomas rarely slipped into speaking Polish, the language he'd grown up hearing his mother speak. This was not good. His words trembled through the phone and arrested Caroline's breath. Something was terribly wrong with her younger brother. She gripped the cell phone tighter.
"What is it, Dad?" "He can't talk. He can't do anything. He is...
What was her father saying? Her 23-year-old brother couldn't talk? The last time she'd video chatted with him, he'd been fine. But that had been several months ago. Anxiety clutched her middle, its iron fist twisting painfully.
"Dad, you aren't making any sense."
Puccini, Biography, International Masters Publishers. As Verdi's successor, Puccini extended the tradition of Italian opera into the 20th century. In doing so, he provided an adoring public with some of the best-loved opera music ever written. Giacomo Puccini was born in the beautiful city of Lucca in Tuscany in 1858. He came from a long line of professional musicians, and after his father died when he was only 5, his musical education was entrusted to his uncle. At the age of 10, Giacomo joined the choir of the Church of San Martino, where his father had been the organist, and within a few years, he too was playing the organ there. It was expected that Puccini would continue his musical career in the church until the 17-year-old saw Verdi's Aida. He was so astounded by the experience, he decided his future lay in opera. The Road to Success. In 1880, Puccini entered the Milan Conservatory, where he studied under the opera composer Amilcare Ponchielli. With Ponchielli's encouragement, Puccini composed his first opera while still at the conservatory. It was not until 1893, however, that Puccini scored his first real success with Manon Lescaut. Then came La Bohème, 1896, Tosca, 1900, and Madama Butterfly, 1904, three of the most enduringly popular operas. With fame came money, and Puccini bought a lakeside house at the village of Torre del Lago, where he settled down to enjoy the life and status of his means. In Search of Human Origins, Part 1. In the remote past, more than 3 million years ago,
A tiny female lived by a lake on the edge of the lush forests of Africa. She was part ape, part human. She lived a brief life, but her story continues to unfold. By an extraordinary set of circumstances, she left tantalizing clues to her life and our origins. Who was she? And what can we discover about this earliest of our most ancient ancestors? We know she existed because we found these, her fossilized bones, in the very spot where she died all those years ago. Fossils like these are so rare that they're even harder to find than diamonds. But they're the key to understanding our origins, knowing who our ancestors were and how they lived. The human story begins in one of the most geologically fascinating places on the planet, the Great Rift Valley of Africa. It's an enormous split torn in the Earth's crust that runs from the forest of Tanzania to the deserts of Ethiopia. In some places, the rift is thousands of feet deep and exposes the last 15 million years of the Earth's history. There's almost no vegetation, so the seasonal rains do most of the work, scouring the surface, uncovering buried fossils. Starting with the modern human skull, we can trace our ancestry back millions of years. And as we travel back in time, our ancestors look less and less like us. They begin to resemble our closest relatives, the African apes with their small brains. Fossil skulls like these help us unlock the mystery of our past, and it is in Africa that the earliest human fossils are found.